From Brother Don's visit over there, I heard some reports. But they were all good. I did hear some very good reports in getting to visit, but also in the preaching Elder Don did, that it was blessed and that the Spirit was there with him and Brother Danny, and that the whole meeting was blessed. So just on that, that's the Salem Association of Arkansas, and they also meet the second weekend in September. I know those folks would love to have anyone that could come visit anytime. Don't want to take too much time away from Brother Troy this morning, but do have a thought on my mind this morning. And the first verse that I would bring up to you here is in Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Now, I read that. Before I read to you what verse I have on my mind this morning, which is in the first chapter of Romans. And the Roman letter is Paul writing to the church there and writing to the Romans. And he, as he's starting it off, it's much as a letter should be. You know, he's introducing and he's talking to them. He's relating to them. And when you get down to verse 10 and 11, let's start in verse 8. "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." See, he's relating to them in his letter that I know you, I love you, and this is what I've heard about you. That's a pretty high honor, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." He's expressing his desire to come see them. And he's also, though, acknowledging in verse 9 there that I serve God with my spirit in the gospel. This is my first priority. I desire to come see you. I've heard good things about you and from you, and I want to come see you. But I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Verse 11, he says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." And that struck me this morning as I was reading that Paul would write it down in that manner, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Now, I thought of oftentimes, and if we'll go visit with someone and stay in their home, you might take a small gift, a token of your appreciation of their hospitality and their care for you while you're there. But Paul, think about this. Just let that sink in for a minute. Paul is stating here, I want to bring with me to you a spiritual gift, a token of my love and appreciation for you, of your hospitality. And you know what your hospitality is to Paul? That's the fruits of the Spirit being displayed to him. But he desires that he could bring them not a gift that would be lovely in their home, and that's good. Not a gift that would ease their state of mind, maybe, or their way of living, or convenience, or something like that. He wants to bring them a spiritual gift. How weighty is that? You can't put that in a box and wrap it up any prettier. In my mind, as I began to think about what is Paul delivering then, if he's delivering a spiritual gift. Now, we could read down in the rest of the Roman letter, and it's very clear that Paul is not going to bring them spiritual life. I think he goes over that very clearly, that he is not going to bring them spiritual life. So what's he referencing here when he says he wants to bring them a spiritual gift? I think he goes into that there with the in the next verse. First, though, I want to make sure we grasp, to the end ye may be established. This is the purpose of me bringing you a spiritual gift. It's not to make it easier on you. It's not to make it more convenient. It's not to make it lovely in your home, as we might bring a gift when we're staying with someone for their hospitality. I want to bring you a gift to establish you. Establish you in the doctrine of Christ Jesus. Establish you in the faith and hope and love of your Savior and of God Almighty. I want to establish you in His kingdom here in this world. I want to establish you in His truth, His mercy, and His love. These are the things that will root and ground you, that you might be able to carry on. This gift will carry on for years and years to come, a lifetime, a spiritual gift. That is, that I, see, and Paul even receives a blessing out of this. He's maybe a little selfish about this. For I, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. Where'd that faith come from? That faith came from God. At the new birth. Faith. Mutual faith. That they're able to share together. This is a gift. That they're able to open up, as it were, a box, a present, a gift. And they're able to share with one another. A spiritual blessing. And dive into it. You know, as you might a gift, if I was to bring a wonderful dessert, again, if I was staying in one of your homes, and we would open that up and dish out a piece of it and enjoy it together. This is a spiritual gift of life in Christ Jesus, faith and hope. Chew on it. Chew on the faith that you have. And share it. Describe to one another. This is wonderful. Where did you get this? Who baked this? Can I have the recipe? I'm serious, my friends. Can I have the recipe to your faith? I want to know. I want to know how to establish my faith. Where you received this gift. Do we ask one another that? That struck me this morning. Do I share as I would a cake or a gift or something and enjoy the spiritual gift that's given me? Do I ask someone else about their gift? How's your faith, brother or sister? What's it like today? Is it stale? Has it been setting out too long? Is it fresh and new? Is it a blessing from the Lord? A spiritual gift that we both can enjoy. Enjoy together. And we can be established together in the faith of Christ Jesus. I thank you for your good attention. And come ahead, Brother Troy.
Thank you, brother. Bless you.
I sure appreciate the words and would have loved for you to keep going a little further. Do we share the recipe? Do we communicate to others? In Philemon, it says, if I pronounce that right, Philemon, Philemon, whatever, right, that small book, it says the communication of your faith is effectual or effective when you acknowledge the good things that are in you by Christ Jesus. And so we can talk about what he's done for our soul and express to others just how blessed we are by what God has done for us. And that's one way to communicate our faith. We need to share that recipe with other people. Would you like to hear God speak to you? I've heard someone recently saying, well, God doesn't speak to us today except through his word. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a heavy word, the word, word. Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And so scripturally, the word is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the one who speaks. And he's been forever in the past, and he will be forever in the future. And yes, he does speak. The scripture tells us in the book of Hebrews that God spake in very many different ways back in time past to the fathers by the prophets. And we know that God spoke to Abraham, he spoke to Isaac, he spoke to Jacob, in all these different ways. And he spoke to Moses. And we think back and consider that, and it would be nice if God would just speak to us. Somebody says, well, have you ever heard God speak audibly? I believe Moses did, very clearly. I believe Paul heard something very audible. I believe God spoke audibly to me once, and that's when he said, stop. And that was it. It was a short message. But it was pouring down rain, and I was at Andrews Highway and Midkiff at a red light, and I had teenage friends in the car with me. I was a teenager myself, and pouring down rain, and light turned green, and you know what Troy does when the light turns green. I started to go, and I heard, stop. I heard it loud and clear, and I slammed on the brake. And a green Mustang, I think it was a 69 Mustang, just went whew, right in front of us. And if I had not stopped, it would not have been good. But you know what? God picks the time and the place to speak to us, doesn't he, brother?
He did.
And sometimes it's needful. And so I heard stop, and I did stop, and I thank God for it. And the other guys in the car didn't hear it. They were just visiting, carrying on. And I asked them, did somebody say stop? And no, they're looking at me like I've lost my mind. And they didn't even see the car go by because they're over here visiting, pouring down rain. Interesting. Would you like to have God speak to you? I want to consider something. God does speak to us through his word, not just the word, the Lord Jesus Christ, but through his written word. And it's available to us. You want to know what the mind of God is on something? We need to be looking at what the word says. In fact, what Brother Matt just gave us here in Romans, if you keep on reading, you see that Paul is a debtor to some people. He's got something he needs to share with them. And what is it? It's speaking the word, this word. And it's the word of the gospel. And it says here, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And how does it deliver us? How does it save us? It shows us something. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so here we are, and we realize that we are unrighteous. We mess up. We make mistakes. We're sinful. And we try to do the best we can in life. And it seems like we always err and do something that we shouldn't do. And we think, well, how can I approach God? How can I call upon Him? How can I have fellowship with Him? And the gospel shows us where the righteousness comes from. It doesn't come from you, brother. It doesn't come from me. But it's revealed to us because the righteousness of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is our righteousness. And so the gospel shows us that. So the end that Paul had in mind is that these people would be established, that they would be strengthened. And that's the gospel, the word of God. That's what strengthens us. That's what establishes us. That's what shows us the right way to go and opens up our eyes, turns on the light, so to speak, so we're not walking in darkness. But you know what? Even way back in the Old Testament times, in the book of Proverbs, y'all run with me to the book of Proverbs, way back then, the light was there for us to see some things, to have our eyes opened, to be instructed. And the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, he has a lot of instruction for us, but it didn't come from his mind and his heart. God was speaking to him, and he wrote it down, okay? And we'll see here the Proverbs of Solomon. It says in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. So right here at the very opening of Proverbs, what's this here for? It's to educate people, to give them wisdom, give them knowledge, give them instruction. This is important. This is something we should be seeking for. And so he goes on to says to understand the proverb and the interpretation, the wise, words of the wise and their dark sayings. And he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So if you don't fear God, it's going to be really hard to learn. And I'll tell you why. You're not listening. If you don't fear God, if He is not your focus, you're not going to want to hear His words anyway. And so why would you want God to speak to you if you're not going to listen? Think about that for a minute. If God spoke audibly to you and He said a few things with you and all you're going to do is argue with Him, why would He take the time to visit with you and tell you something if you have turned away from what He said in the past, which is right here? Well, we go on. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So who is it that doesn't want to hear about wisdom? And who does not want to be instructed? That's the fool. Okay. And so he goes on. He says to his son, he says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. And he talks about some things that we need to be doing and some things we don't need to do. Don't run with people that want to cause all kinds of evil, all kinds of wickedness, because they'll tell you, come on, run with us. We're going to go and lay wait for somebody. We're going to jump on them. We're going to beat them up. We're going to take their stuff. And boy, this is really good. He says, don't do that. There's no profit in that. That's not what God would have you to do. So in verse 20, it says, wisdom crieth without. And whenever you see in the King James Bible, it's when it says without, that means outside, right? Okay. Wisdom's crying out here. And how does wisdom cry? It's a personification here of wisdom, making it into a person. And what is wisdom? The scripture teaches us that Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Wisdom is what is contained in God's understanding, which is so huge that we could never imagine. We can't get our mind around it because God knows all things. He understands all things. He's made all things. And so this is kind of a way of saying God is out here standing in the street and He's saying something. It says wisdom's crying in the streets. And it says here, how long, ye simple ones, and that's simple, that's the foolish. Well, you love simplicity. You're going to love your foolishness. And you scorners, delight in your scorning. That's, you know, when you're always talking about, oh, that's, you know, scorning other people, saying that what they're doing is bad and discounting it because, you know, you're better. You have your pride. And then it goes on and says something about fools after the scorners. And fools, how long will you fools hate knowledge? Now, do you hate knowledge today? I love having knowledge. I tell you what, sometimes something goes wrong on my car, and if I know just what to do to fix it, that is wonderful. But if I don't know what to do, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance can be trouble. How long are you fools going to hate knowledge? And it says, turn you at my reproof. Wisdom speaking. This is God speaking, folks. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. What's he saying? Just listen to what I'm saying and turn. Make some changes. I'll pour out my spirit unto you. We find out in the New Testament over in the book of John, it says there that if we keep his commandments, we do what he's told us. He says, I will come and my Father will come. This is Jesus speaking. We'll come and make our abode with you. How would you like them to move in, Brother Joe? You got a nice house over there. You know, just have them move right on in. That's right in here. Exactly. And come and make our abode with you. And then he goes on and says something. I will manifest myself unto you. How do I find God? How do I see God? He will show you. Manifest means to show, to make it clear. So he's going to do that. And he says, when I call, you need to turn. And I'm going to pour out my spirit into you. But then he says, I'll also make known my words unto you. But he says, because I have called and ye refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You folks aren't listening, in other words. I've been calling you and you're not listening. But you've set at naught all my counsel, which means you called it worth zero. You set it at naught. It's worthless. Don't need to hear that counsel. And because you've done that, and you wouldn't listen to any of my reproof, he says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Oh, but I thought God was a loving God. I thought he was, you know, just so sweet and loving. He would never laugh at someone, would he? Yes, he would. It says here, I've told you this is the way to go. You've refused to listen, and you continue to refuse to listen, and I keep telling you for many different ways, and you don't listen to it, and I'm going to laugh when your calamity comes. I'm going to mock at you when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. There's another place that says, call unto me and I will answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things. That's in Jeremiah. And also it says, when you seek me, you'll find me. When you seek for me with all your heart. I love those promises. He says, if you do seek me, you will find me. But here he says, they'll seek me and they won't find me. What's the difference? Haters of God and lovers of God. If you love God and you want to follow him and you call upon him, yes, he's going to manifest himself to you. He's going to be there. He's going to listen. And you say, well, I want to hear from him. I want to hear his word. You know, we could go on and look, and I want you to take home with you Proverbs and look at all the way through chapter 9 and read all of that, especially 2 through 6 and then chapter 8 and 9, and hit all of those things because it talks about just how precious the wisdom of God is from the Word, and if we will listen to it, how it blesses us. And it says here that the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And it's talking about the people who love God and they want to follow him and they're listening to this wisdom. And it just more and more that light shines and they're not walking in darkness. He says, my son, attend to my words. I'm in chapter 4, verse 20 now. Incline to my sayings. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all thy flesh. He just continues to exhort all the way through this book, but I want to get to chapter 8 of Proverbs, and please, I wish we had time to go through all this, but please take it home and read all of Proverbs 1 through 9, okay? And when you get over into chapter 8, it's talking about wisdom crying out, and you get into things like in verse 17, it says, I love them that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. You need to seek God early in life, seek him early in the day. If you truly want to seek him and get understanding, and you want to know, God, what would you have me to do? He will give you that answer. I'm not saying you'll get an audible voice. He chooses the time, he chooses the way, right? The manner in the way he speaks to you. And he will get that to you, especially when you're asking for it, seeking for it, and you get his word open and read it. So he says, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. It's a whole lot better to hear from God than to have gold and silver. You know, gold and silver, you can buy stuff with that, but you just use it up, and then it's gone, and then you need more, right? But if you have God leading you and directing you, and you have a joy that it's unspeakable, and you have the peace that passes understanding, what can top that? Where do we get that, brother? Have you ever been troubled? You ever been cast down? You know, the psalmist was, David, he was cast down a few times, and he said, oh, why am I cast down? Why are you cast down, my soul? Why are you so troubled? And what did he say to do to his soul? He says, hope in God. And him extol, in other words, worship him, praise him, look up to God and thank him and seek him. And then you're not going to be cast down. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to be strengthened. You're going to be walking, as it were, over the rough grounds, but just like walking on air. Amazing what God can do to you whenever you're in his word and he's blessing you. I'm not about to say that I don't go through troubles and trials, and everybody here does. In fact, Jesus told us that we would. And also, let me tell you, Paul wanted them to be established, but why? He wanted them to be established because he knew the trials were coming, and he wanted them not to buckle under trials. And so he, in fact, in Ephesians, he told them, put on the armor of God so they'd be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. You know, the things that are going to come against you. But see, God has set it up in such a way that he wants you to have these trials. He wants you to have this adversity. Jesus Christ said, in the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And guess what? He gives us grace to overcome our trials, our tribulations, our problems. And so we go through the really tough times, and yet we go through it. We hurt, we have pain, we have sorrow, but we go through it, and we have the joy of God with us, and we have peace with us, and we can go through that looking unto him and having strength. And that is a glorious thing, because we're not cast down and destroyed, are we? We might get cast down, but we're not destroyed. Why? When we fall, the Lord upholds us with his hands. Underneath are the everlasting arms of God. We need to seek his face. Let's go on and look. This is so good in Proverbs chapter 8. You find in verse 22, speaking of wisdom here, this is still talking about wisdom, because chapter 8 says, does not wisdom cry? Well, what about wisdom? Verse 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. So he's saying wisdom existed back before God created the world. And I told you earlier, this wisdom is kind of, it's where does it come from? It comes from God. This is like God speaking to us. But he talks about wisdom before the mountains were settled, before the hills were brought forth, when he had not made the earth. And when he prepared the heavens, I was there. So wisdom's it goes way back, doesn't it? all the way back to the very beginning. And then it says, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. And he says, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. So this wisdom, I can't put it into words, Brother Don. This wisdom is more than just a concept, isn't it? This wisdom is the truth of God. It's the teaching of God that we need, and it's really God himself. That's because the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And who was that? Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Wisdom came here to walk on this earth. And that's Jesus Christ. He's the one that was with the Father before the world began. In fact, we find in John 1 where we started, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. We find that all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So the world was created by this wisdom, by this Lord Jesus Christ, by this Word. We want to hear from God. We want to hear his words. I hope so. Listen to what he says about you if that's where you are, if that's what you want to do. He says, blessed are all they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Now here's a blessing. Blessed is the man. And by the way, this man is generic. Okay, so it's man or woman. Blessed is the person, is the way it could read. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Do you hear God? Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. I love the imagery there. If you want to have fellowship with somebody, if I want to have a little time with my brother Gary, I'll drive to Big Spring. And I'll go to his door, you know. And if he's not up yet, I'll wait by the door because I want to have fellowship with him. And the imagery here is you're blessed if you watch daily at his gates, if you wait by the post of his door. For whoever finds me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. All right. Well, that's some pretty good instruction there out of the book of Proverbs. And we're talking about hearing God. Let's run to John. Let's see what Jesus might have to say. Let's go over to John 5. We start in John 5. Jesus shows up on the scene, and he's talking to people who have a religious system. They've got all worked out the way they think it ought to be. And you'll find that when he goes here in John chapter 5, there's a man that he heals, a man that was paralyzed, couldn't walk, and he heals him. And he heals him on the Sabbath day. Now, Jesus could have waited till after the Sabbath day to heal this man, and could have healed him then. But he did it on the Sabbath day. And the Jewish people that were watching this and seeing it, they were upset because, oh, it's not lawful. What are you doing up, walking around carrying your bed? You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. And he says, well, the man that healed me told me to take up my bed and walk. And so now they're really upset. This Jesus is telling people to take up their bed and walk with it on the Sabbath day. It violated their religion. It violated the way they understood the Sabbath. And so when they found out who it was, they were a little bit upset with him. And we find that the Jews started persecuting Jesus. In verse 16 of John 5, it says, so the Jews therefore did persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. To do what? To kill him. You hear that? You ever wonder, why did they put Jesus on a cross? Why were they so upset with him? Listen, people who want to reject what God has to say, they hate it. The scripture just told us. And those that hate me love death. All right, they love death, they don't love life. They love this world, they don't love the world to come. And they get pretty upset. Why, you can just say, you can just start telling them, well, from the beginning, God created all things, and he made a man, and he made a woman, and he had this agenda here for them to populate the earth and just have all kinds of people in the earth. And he chose for himself a people out of that, out of all those people that he's going to share eternity with. Glory. Oh, it's a wonderful message, isn't it? And he wanted this man and this woman to represent something. And that is that Jesus Christ has a bride. You know who that is? That's us. Hey, you men, you know you're a bride. if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're his bride. Okay? And he gave himself for us. He died on the cross for us. Why? We couldn't do it for ourselves because we were at enmity to God. We could not please God. We could not understand God. We couldn't approach unto him. Totally helpless. He had to come in and he had to die in our place. And when he did on the cross, what was he doing there? He bore our sins in his own body on that cross. What for? Peter says, so that we being dead to sin should live under righteousness. He did that so that we being dead to sin would live under righteousness to serve him. That's awesome. So, wonderful story. And you could start telling that story and God made them male and female. Well, although there's really five or six genders. No, there's not. There's male, there's female. That's the way he did it. And, well, yeah, but two guys, they could raise a family. No, that's ridiculous. That's not his pattern. He had something in mind. He made the man a certain way and the woman a certain way so that they could have children. And he had a plan. And it's very simple. And so just the simple proclamation of this plan and the truth of this word. You could be called a hater. You could be thrown in prison. In fact, it's happening even now. The people are ending up in prison for hate speech because they happen to say just the simple pattern of what God's word says. So here comes Jesus, and he just heals a man. Man's been paralyzed for years. I can't remember how many, 20, 30. It was a long time. Paralyzed for years. And he heals him. But no. You did that the wrong way. And they're all upset with him. And they want to do what to him? They want to kill him. He says, folks, they hated me. They're going to hate you. He's talking to his followers. They hated me. They're going to hate you too. We got to be ready for that. Well, let's read on and see. He starts talking to these people that are all upset with him. The Jews sought to kill him. Why? Verse 18. Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said that God was his father, making himself equal with God. So they thought they were justified in hating him and even trying to kill him. And so Jesus starts talking to them. And I'm just going to skip quickly over some things here, but I want to grab some things that Jesus has to say. He says, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word. Are you hearing God today? Do you hear his word? He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. It doesn't say if you'll hear his word and if you'll believe on him, then he will see to it that you get some everlasting life someday. It doesn't say that, does it, Brother Gary? No. It says, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Pretty strong words, these people that are listening to him. They don't understand all of what he's saying. But he keeps on teaching them things, and he gets down to verse 38. Or let's say verse 37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Who's he talking to? He's talking to all these enemies of the truth of God that are upset with him. He says, you haven't seen God, and you haven't heard from him. And you have not his word abiding in you. Now listen, how would you like to have God's word abiding in you? Now, I've told you who the word is, right? Who's the word? Christ. Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the word, right? He created all things. Did you know that the scripture says, if you're a believer in him, that you have Christ in you, the hope of glory? Christ is in you. But he's talking to these people. You don't have his word abiding in you. How do you know this, Jesus? He says, for whom he hath sent, him you believe not. He's just rolling that up right up under their noses. God sent me, and you're not believing what I'm saying, and you don't have his word. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the scriptures testify of me. And isn't it true? You go through the Old Testament scriptures, and we find Jesus in every book, don't we? Not named as Jesus, but prophesied where he was going to be born, when he was going to be born, what was going to happen around the circumstances around his birth, what he was going to do in his ministry. All that stuff was written down for us. And so he says, those things are all testifying of me. And he says, you will not come unto me that you might have life. Why? They don't hear from the Father. They don't know the Father. He says, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. Oh, wouldn't it be good to have the love of God in us? Be good to have that. Well, why did God, I'm talking about hearing from God, I'm talking about his word, and we could go on John 6, John 7, John 8, there's so many great things, John 10, we find my sheep hear my voice, right? And I give unto them eternal life, and we find that, yeah, eternal life's a gift from God, he gives it, but his sheep that have it, they hear his voice. So if you're not hearing from God, you need to find out what's wrong. You really do. You need to find out, where am I missing it? I need to be hearing his voice. Well, before Jesus left the world and went back to the Father, right at the end of Matthew, he gave some instruction. And I just want to get it across to us. How do we hear God? How do we hear from him? Listen to what Jesus says at the end of Matthew. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Jesus is talking to his disciples and saying, I want you to go teach. And he goes on and says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. All right, so Jesus, you're telling them to go and teach and preach the gospel and go into all the world and share this. Well, why not just God just go straight to each person and just talk to them audibly? That's not the way he chose to do it, is it, Brother Don? God speaks to us in the time he wants to, and the way he wants to, and also where at the place he wants to, right? That's the way God speaks to us. He makes that choice. And it did not please him to speak to us directly and just continue to think, why would he speak to somebody that's not going to be listening anyway? He's not going to speak to us if we don't have ears to hear, would he? Would he speak to us directly? Could be. I know that he spoke through a donkey once and had that donkey rebuke a man that arguably might have been just a false prophet. God can, he can speak out loud, but will he speak to us in the way we want him to? We want to hear from him. How does he speak to us? 1 Corinthians, Paul's writing a letter, and he's excited about writing to these people at Corinth. And he says in verse 17, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He's putting this as the focus. This is the number one thing. And this is part of that spiritual gift he wanted to share with the Romans, I believe, brother. It's just sharing the words of God, the gospel of God. He says, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. And Paul is putting a focus on this. This is important. That this be preached. And you find here, God chooses the way he talks, right? Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. The world by its own wisdom did not know God. So after all that, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. If you're a believer today, how has he been pleased to communicate with you and to deliver things to you of instruction and counsel and wisdom? What's one way he's chosen? By the foolishness of preaching. That's why we should come and gather and we should preach one to another. In fact, In fact, Brother Don, we need to get together sometime, and I'll preach for 30 minutes. You preach back to me for an hour. And it's preaching. It's by the foolishness of preaching. Preaching what? What did God tell Paul to preach? Preach the word. All right. So it's the word is what we need. So you need to hear that preached. You need to read it. You need to meditate in it. You need to keep it in the midst of your heart. It's great to memorize it. Take it and memorize it, because that it's made unto you salvation. It's going to deliver you in the evil day. It's going to strengthen you. You can walk in the joy of the Lord. Oh, blessed are those people that know the joyful sound. Those that want to rejoice in God. How do we rejoice in God? How do we enjoy that? How do we seek Him and learn more? By being in His Word and by listening to His Word. We've got to hear it. Let Him preach to us. He sent these people out. In fact, it says over in Romans, remember when you get over into Romans 10, it talks about those people that preach. And we ought to be thankful for them. I remember Jesus one time was looking out and said, these people out here are like sheep without a shepherd. And He said, pray ye that the Lord would send laborers into His vineyard. And we need people to go out and share this word with others. But here in 10, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you say, well, that's verse 13. But you might say, well, Brother Troy, I thought you read in Proverbs, they're going to call on me and I will not answer. And here they're going to call on me and they'll be saved. What's the difference? It's a difference of the heart. If you have faith toward God, if you love Him, if you know Him, if He's called you to be a follower and you call upon Him, you're going to be delivered. But it says, how are they going to call on Him in whom they haven't believed? And how are they going to believe in Him in whom they haven't heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, let's kind of bring this all together here and wind down. You might say, well, I'm not a preacher. You know, we all need to be sharing God's word one with another. And you can preach a little bit every once in a while in your family. It's just declaring the truth of God. Sharing the word of God. Some men are especially called of God to have a public ministry, to stand up here and declare the word. And we need to always be wanting to go and hear that and take the things that they say and be blessed by those things. And we need to take that home then, as the scripture tells us, if we're very... If we're virtuous, if we do what we should take home what we hear here and search the scriptures to be sure that the preacher actually told the truth. We need to search this word. So where's the final authority? Well, the word is the final authority. And I'm talking about this word right here. But really, who gave the word? God did. So He's the final authority, right? It all rests on Him. But the answers are right here in this book. Now, you might meet people in your life that say, well, God told me this. God told me that. And sometimes, maybe God did tell them something. I believe God's told me a few things. But how has He talked to me? I want you to know He's taught to me through His word. He's talked to me through His word. He's talked to me through preaching. He's talked to me through other saints. They would sometimes just say something and had no idea they were saying something that God was moving them to say. And it blessed me and I needed it. He's talked to me through circumstances. He's talked to me through troubles and trials. But the foundation of it, for me to understand it, if you ever think God's talking to you, something happens in your life and something big and you think, well, God's telling me to do this, this, or that. You need to go see, does it line up with this book? If it lines up with this, then perhaps God's speaking to you. In fact, if it lines up with this, you might as well just go with what this is, right? I've had young folks come to me before, and I don't know if you've ever heard this. A young man living with a young woman, and they live together, and they don't commit to one another. That's not God's pattern. God's pattern is... you make a commitment. And you say, if I'm going to live with this young woman, are there any young men here? There's some that are fairly young. If you're going to ever pursue a young lady, and if you ever wanted to live with that young lady, God says, no, you need to get married. You need to commit. And it's forever and forever and ever. It's not, oh, I'm going to stay here until I just feel like I want to go somewhere else. You know? And people will do that. But I've had this happen. Oh, we prayed about it. You ever heard that? A young man, a young woman. Well, we've prayed about it, and we believe God wants us to move in together. And it's going to save on rent. Well, we have a peace about it. Well, I tell you what. They have a peace about it that doesn't line up with what it says right here. We need to understand what God's word says. And you're going to get the right answer that way. If you seek with all your heart, with all your soul, hopefully you'll find it. Jesus said, if they seek for me, they will find me. Right. If they seek with all their heart and soul. May God bless you.